Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabib Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre callers on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. Have you say, Yarn Up Strong. All is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. A voice out to our people and good yarns here and any topic. Please call in. Have you say and Yarn Up Strong. And I want to acknowledge that to a First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, Daily Black Network. And a big shout out to them all. And it is a Deadly Black Network and all our yarns, all our songs and our stories. So a powerful stage for our mob to have their say. And you can have your say. 1-800-422-416.
I've got the story to tell about my people. I've got the story to tell about my people. Story to tell about my land. Story to tell about my people. Story to tell about my land. Waterkin. I've got the story to tell about my people. Story to tell about my land. Story to tell about my people. Story to tell about my I've got the story to
Yeah, the beautiful voice, Alvarina Johnson. Big shout out, my sister, featuring the Briscoe Sisters. And big shout out to the Briscoe Sisters. Thank you. Gungenji Rain here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yana Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on New Dingy Country, BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, Yana Strong. Now, silence is not an option for First Nations content in Australian schools. Authentic and sometimes confronting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander content is helping the next generation of Australian teachers be more socially responsible and inclusive, say University of South Australia experts. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Sam Osborne, co-researcher and Uni South Australia Associate Director of Regional Engagement, and also have Professor Kathy Page from University of South Australia, adjunct associate online. And a very good morning to you both. How are you? Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
There.
Who are Dr. Sam and Professor Kathy? Yes?
Yes, you have us here.
Good morning to you both. Look, talk about it. Silence is not an option for First Nations content in Australian schools. So where are we at regarding teachers and how are they taught or what are they using in regarding getting information across the table and to engage and build a bridge, so to speak, for our First Nations students?
It's a really good question, and I guess it's taken over quite a significant period of time to develop the program. I've worked in the teacher education for 25 years, and in primary, middle, mathematics and science. So it's that cohort of pre-service teachers that we have been working with, perhaps more intensely over the last 8 or 9 years, to increase their confidence to embed Indigenous ways of knowing in their maths and science lesson plans in particular, so that as they go out as beginning teachers, they have some confidence in that space and some knowledge.
Exactly. Professor Kathy, thank you. Over to you, Dr. Sam. Input, please.
Oh, thank you. Look, for me, I work very much in remote schools, and I think there are some really good examples of teachers who find out what's happening in communities, what's important to communities, and what they can make curricula to engage students, families, communities, local languages, country, so on and so forth. And I think there are others who really struggle. I think it's a little bit patchy in remotes, and it kind of depends on often the experience. And to use that word again, confidence or even, motivation of teachers. It's not really so much across the board embedded in curriculum that people pick up and simply teach.
So it's, it's not in the curriculum is what you're saying, Dr. Sam.
No, it absolutely is. And this is the thing, is that in the cross-curriculum priorities of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures and histories, it's embedded throughout and in all the subject areas. I suppose particularly in remote communities, often attendance at school can be a little bit lower. People feel like they need to fix NAPLAN, for example, which is the literacy and numeracy testing that happens every year in English. So often it's sort of like back to basics, and so large swathes of other things don't get covered, even though they might sit in curriculum documents. And I suppose that's what I'm saying, in remote schools it tends to be a little bit more of a teacher choice, I think.
So can let me ask a question in regard to students that they're studying to become a high school teacher, primary school teacher. Is that in the education in regarding their degree as such? First Nation content.
I actually can't hear Sam's response, but the primary teachers and middle school teachers, they have a 4-year degree and they do 2 minors, so they do 4 units of work in science and 4 units in math, and that's that the students that I have in their fourth year in their professional pathway have an expertise in mathematics and science. And then that's where we're embedding the Indigenous ways of knowing with that group of students in particular, are the group that Sam and I've worked with.
So it's compulsory in regarding that, that part of it,
well,
yes?
The group that do maths and science, so there's probably 35 each year that put their hand up to do a major in maths and science,
sure.
And they're specialist primary teachers. They're the group that we've been working with over the last 25 years for me. So that particular group, and so of course there are other groups that develop their curriculum, but this is the group that we've been working with.
Lovely.
With the maths and science.
Okay, and Professor Cathy, is that this is uni SA? Is that across the all universities in this country?
I think there's quite a movement in trying to develop the Indigenous ways of knowing across, and there's certainly one of the IUTSU standards, professional standards, which encourages First Nations knowledges and their teaching. But in many cases, it's probably improving.
Yes.
Probably, if you look in hindsight, it wasn't something that we were doing very well a decade ago.
Okay.
And we've got a long way to go, too.
Long way to go. Of course we do.
Yeah.
Dr. Sam, would you know anything about cultural awareness in this space in regarding helping our teachers to engage with First Nations students?
I think some areas, for example, when you go into employment, do an orientation type thing. Some do it quite well, some cover off on it a little bit.
Sure.
I think different courses might pick up on that, different courses may not. Certainly for us, we would adopt the language of culturally responsive pedagogies.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than cultural awareness. And one of the reasons is increasingly teachers are standing in front of very diverse groups of students, particularly in metropolitan schools.
Exactly.
You may have a group of
cultures.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students from various language and cultural backgrounds. You'll have students from refugee backgrounds, various faith, language, class backgrounds. And so, you know, to be aware of everybody's culture is not really realistic. To be able to be, you know, competent and to expertly teach the students their culture is not realistic. But cultural responsivity, which is really a focus for education at UniSA, is about creating a pedagogical space where the students bring their knowledges and assets into
two-way
the
street.
Classroom. So, yeah, that's right. So those assets of family, culture, community, language, other areas of community life, teachers can actually create a space where students come in, and rather than saying, look, that doesn't apply here because we're doing this sort of knowledge and that doesn't count here, it actually is about making communities curricula. So we're really trying to equip teachers pedagogically rather than giving content to sort of know about the other in that sense.
Okay, and the other thing that comes to mind is when we're talking about operating on country, is there engagement with traditional owners, elders, so to speak, in regarding where the school sits and to what country they sit on? Is that a factor?
Well, for me personally, I can only really talk about remote spaces where I work, and like for example, I tend to work in the APY lands, northwest corner of South Australia, or southwest Northern Territory, Docker River, Murridulu, Irwinpa. They all have very robust land rights. So APY has just celebrated their 40-year freehold land acquisition, the land rights celebration, and. So those orientations with the department, you know, are always, you know, done with locals, with senior people.
Yes.
When you get to community, a good principal will organise some time out at a sandhill in a creek bed for teachers to sit with community
under the gum tree.
Yep. That tends to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Over to you, Professor Cathy. Is that the case as well regarding engaging with traditional owners and elders from that country where the school sits on country?
Yes, it's certainly something that's promoted. But one of the things that's interesting is these are we're working with our final year's pre-service teachers, and they go out and do a placement, and certainly we encourage them there to connect to local elders and where possible. But you have to think also that they're just beginning to teach, and so this isn't an easy space to start.
Yes.
But we're hoping that they have the confidence to build on that in their first year teaching. So certainly connecting, and it is also really interesting to see the beginning teachers, how many didn't have connections with Indigenous people, or really we were surprised about their lack of confidence through their secondary schooling experiences and things. So so it was sort of, we have them in their fourth year, so it's a whole year where we have them half a day every Thursday. So, and then it ends up with a 5-week placement, so they have an opportunity to really be challenged and then develop. And it's still a long way to go, but it's they go out there knowing that there's a lot more to know. And and certainly Sam coming in as a guest speaker talking about Red Dirt curriculum, watching some of the movies, and it is really challenging for them. And I think that's the bit that we're starting to do in a way that leaves them feeling much more confident to have a go, rather than to say, heck, I don't want to be in that space and make a mistake. So
it creates a platform and confirms the fact that we are all students, are we not?
That's right.
And
that opportunity to continue to learn, that's a very good point.
Yeah. Dr. Sam, thank you so very much. Professor Cathy, beautiful talking. Fantastic. Let's please keep in touch, and it's a very important space, and let's massage this conversation into the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Hello.
A beautiful yarn there. Dr. Sam Osborne, co-researcher and Uni SA's Associate Director of Regional Engagement, and Professor Cathy Page, Uni South Australia Adjunct Associate. And silence is not an option for First Nations content in Australian schools. So authentic and sometimes confronting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander content is helping the next generation of Australian teachers be more social, responsible and inclusive, say University of South Australia experts. Fantastic, beautiful yarn. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation here. Maybe you want to add to that conversation, or maybe you want to start a new one. All ears here on your daily program. National Talk Black, daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Of the world, dancing the moonlight and shaking brown kulaks and listening to life songs in harmony.
On Dizzy Island,
don't say goodbye, say I won't, cause you always return to TI.
If you've eaten the fruit of the Wanga tree with a beautiful island girl, you always return to Tia.
It takes him a while to realize he's not dreaming. Somehow he's landing in paradise. When the sun shines right into the evening,
Islanders smile.
smile shine right through to sunrise. On Busy Island,
don't say goodbye. Say I won't, cause you always return to TI.
If you've eaten the fruit of the one guy tree with a beautiful island girl, you always return to TI.
Where the rainforest meets the sea. That's a Wooja Wooja Mob. Big share of Wooja Wooja Mob. And look, went through some big dramas thanks to ex-Cyclone Jasper And I hope you're all well, your mob, and hope you're back on country and find out if we can talk to somebody up that way. That'd be great. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number Yarn to yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Come to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Udinji Country. BBM, Bama Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, now, the Future Made in Australia Act provides an unmissable opportunity to embed First Nations outcomes. The First Nations Clean Energy Network welcomes Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's plans for a Future Made in Australia Act, but caution must not be at the expense of nor take for granted First Nations consent. As the First Nation Clean Energy Network has noted, the United States Inflation Reduction Act has set a precedent not only for being the largest investment in climate and energy in Australia, in history, sorry, but also the recognition of the key role that First Nations play in clean energy and economic transition efforts. Canada, likewise, in its response to the United States Inflation Reduction Act, has similarly realised that establishing and incentivising the right partnership with First Nation is an investment decision. With that, I'm going to catch up with Yana with Chris Coker, co-chair of the First Nation Clean Energy Network, and we have Chris on the line. Chris, good morning.
Hi, Trevor, how are you?
Yeah, I'm well, Chris. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Chris?
I'm down in Nam in Victoria.
Okay, thank you very much. Look, a very important space. The Future Made in Australia Act provides an unmissable opportunity to embed First Nations outcomes. So, yes, we are at the table, but we should not be taken for granted being at the table, yep?
No, yeah, definitely, that's right. I think we would all agree that the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese's plan for this Future Made in Australia Act is ambitious and could position Australia to be, as the government's saying, a global renewable energy superpower. But we can't have that happen without Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders, our First Nations communities, being consulted,
sure,
being engaged, and you know, we definitely can't be taken for and granted. Yes, so I would agree, Trev.
And thank you. So look at your First Nation Clean Energy Network. So how many, are we talking tribal people at the table? How long has this been going on for, and how far are we travelling? How far are we going with it? Is there meat on the bone, so to speak?
Yeah, definitely. So some of the listeners may recall that the First Nations Clean Energy Network, you know, we founded it about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In response to all of the clean energy developments that's been happening, you know, across the country, on our traditional lands, you know, largely without our engagement or consent. So we needed to, you know, mobilise, stand up, make sure we educate our mob so that we can, you know, be active and we can negotiate better and make sure that we're not getting taken advantage of, and we're having a role to play in this energy transition. You know, there's literally thousands of jobs coming online, billions of dollars being invested. Families are enjoying the benefits of clean energy through rooftop solar and the like, so their own electricity bills are much cheaper and you know, able to keep their houses warm in summer and warm in winter. But, you know, that's not the same for most Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander communities. You know, we're still on the fringe. We're missing out all of the, all of those economic benefits. So the network, we're a national not-for-profit. We have about 600 members, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people and organisations spread around the country. And we, as I am not-for-profit, we're about capacity building, making sure that we, you know, educate our mob and we can make sure that when we come to the table, we know the right questions to ask. We can have be able to steer the ship, be able to steer the conversation to make sure land's protected, we're receiving benefits, and, you know, we're not just being taken for granted. As my own colleague, who's also co-chair, Karina Nolan, you know, quite often states, you know, we don't want, of course, we want to see this change happen because it's about addressing the effects of climate change and mitigating the pollution.
Yep.
But we can't see the mistakes of the past be repeated again with this new wave of development going on across the country.
Exactly. And when we're talking members or people who are at the table, are we talking traditional owners? Are we talking entrepreneurs, black people in business? Are we talking about elders? Who's at the table as such in regarding the membership of the network?
Yeah, so it covers a whole range. It's memberships basically open to all Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders across the country. So we have, you know, elders, one of my good on friends, there's Schultz from WA, he's an elder for He's a Mob. There's many people like that are actively involved. Aboriginal businesses, Torres Strait Islander businesses are also members. Some of our biggest land councils are also members, through to, you know, the native title groups, the PBCs that look after native title rights. But also, mums and dads, uncles and aunties are also involved as well. One of the things, I'm a little bit older now, being just over 50. One of the good things is actually we get many more of the younger fellows and younger ladies also paying interest in this space. Because, they see, the potential for things to potentially go wrong if we're not engaged. But also there's a lot of opportunity for them. So with a wide spectrum of our members. We also have a lot of supporters, that are not Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander organisations or people, but, they don't, basically get a say into how the organisation is run or steered.
So sure.
They're just supporters.
And how do people contact you guys? How to get more information? You have a webpage as such?
Yeah, definitely. So we're on most of the social media, on the old fashioned web, just find us at First Nations Clean Energy Network.org.au. There's a lot of information, a lot of resources already available to help inform traditional owners and community groups on, how they can have a say, how they can be involved, and what are the benefits when it comes to clean energy. And, there's more and more opportunities come on, becoming available. Recently, we've, released a media statement, I guess, or a guide in response to the Australian government's Future Made in Australia Act. And one of the big things that we're really calling for, which actually would benefit Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders across the country, is that we need to really, we're looking to government to really incentivise better First Nations outcomes and make sure that they're really embedded in this, in the centre of this Future Made in Australia Act. We don't want to be pushed to the side. We want to make sure that we're, firmly being considered and having a right to exercise our self-determination and, FPIC rights.
Yes.
Because, this is, some people say this is a once-in-a-generation investment by the Australian government and industry in this type of development and, the money being invested. We want to make sure that Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders are also benefiting from that that capital taxpayer-funded investment as well.
Exactly. Chris Coker, thank you very much. Look, a very important space. And, we're at the table and not to be taken for granted. Thank you very much. We will yarn soon. Please do keep in touch. And big shout-out to your members. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Talk soon. Bye.
Take care. Bye, Chris. Adela Yan there, Chris Coker, co-chair of the First Nation Clean Energy Network, and the Future Made in Australian Act provides an unmissable opportunity to embed First Nation outcomes. So thanks to Prime Minister of Anthony Albanese, Prime Minister of Australia, who's the First Nation Clean Energy Network, who plans for a Future Made in Australia Act. But cautious is this must be at the expense or not take for granted First Nation content. So very important space. But yes, we are front and centre in regard to this conversation. So very important, looking after the future of this country as well. And First Nation people need to be front and centre, of course. Have you seen Yan Up Strong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
I